Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the Business Bunker Extra Radio Show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. It is Friday. I can't remember the date because I got the wrong piece of paper in front of me. It's the 22nd. It's the 22nd of February. It's nearly the end of February already.
Yay! Nearly Christmas.
Shut up, you. Who brought him?
Too early.
Too early.
It's nearly Easter.
Yeah, exactly. There we go. More importantly, it's nearly my birthday.
Okay. Moving on. Next.
As you can hear, my co-host in the studio today is our security expert.
Good morning.
Not anybody else's, just my security expert, Richard Bell from 10 Intelligence. Good morning. And our guest today is the lovely, most popular and favourite Twitter handle in the world person, TD Botty is in the studio.
Hello, good morning.
Otherwise known as Terry Botfield.
Yeah, hi.
Do you know, notices, we always comment about your Twitter handle.
Yeah, I know, on Bunker Show, Paul said, it's exactly the same.
Oh, exactly.
Lovely handle.
Lovely handle. Did you do that on purpose?
No. I would say it was a good marketing tool, but it wasn't.
Oh, you could have laid claim to that. Yes, of course, everything I do is on purpose. But we have got a full show today for you. We have got security stuff for you. We're going to frighten the hell out of you again, like we always like to. Richard likes to do every once a month.
Just want to get people thinking different.
It's good. No, it is good. It's good information to have. And then we're going to be hearing from Terry about all the things that he does. Fingers in lots of pies. Definitely. We do want to hear from you. We've got some tweets we're going to shout out in a minute, but we want to hear from you, the listeners. Tweet us at Bunker Extra with an X. Be Extra, Be Bunker, hashtag. How's your week? How's your doing? How's your month? How's February going? Let us know what you've been up to. Give us a call in the studio if you really want to. You can call us on 01233 220035. That's 01233 220035. Give us a call. And if you've got an event you want to shout out on air, give us a call and do it. You're welcome to. You can, as always, email me at bunkerextra@gmail.com if you have got a show, an event you want us to talk about on the show, or if you'd like to come on as a guest. Now, on last week's show, I was joined in the studio by my fabulous co-host, Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, and our guests were Kate and Keith Merrin from Athelbray Limited. Athelbray are a training company and they host and run lots of different training courses for businesses and business owners. If you missed that show or any of the previous shows, if you go to bizradio.co.uk, click on the extra tab and all of the shows are there. And this is show number 93. We're nearly at show 100. I know, it's flying by. We have had a shout out from the beautiful Amy McManus from AM Marketing, marketing_AM on the Twitter. Can we have a shout out, please? Our crazy yet amazing, love it, Amy. MD Amy is swimming 44 miles to raise money for Diabetes UK. It's amazing what you're doing. 44 miles. What is that? To France and back, isn't it? I think she's not actually doing the channel, but in the swimming pool, she's doing the 44 miles. And she's asking for people to support her. If you go to justgiving.com/AmyMuck, that's MC Swim, and pledge, sponsor her, because that's a fantastic feat. I can't even do one width, let alone 44 miles.
I'm not a swimmer.
I'm a paddler. I could probably float on a lilo or something, do that long, but not swim. So fantastic. Wishing you all luck. Amy, one thing you haven't let us know, AM Marketing, let us know when are you doing it, because I can't remember what date you're doing it. So when are you doing your 44 miles? Let us know. But do go and check it out and give her a sponsor, people, for sure. What else have we got, Richard? Can you see anything else?
We have got the fabulous chic stylist, who's said, hope we have a good show. And the talk of the town has definitely got to be last night's, what I presume, as the hashtag was, the LinkedIn local event, with lots of Kent businesses coming together for a great evening. And she gives you a kiss for a yay. Who else have we got? Terry's been talking. And Jobs in Kent. Hi, team, could we have a shout out, please? It's jobsinkent.com, Medway Careers Fair on the 14th of March at St George's Hotel, meet local employers, and much more details can be found on kentbusinessradio.co.uk/medwayjobs.
Fabulous. There's your shout out. And Chips and Dinks. I always have to say it very slowly, Terry. I get it wrong sometimes. at Tony Burke and Bev Burke, who were on the show a couple of weeks ago, who've said, have a great show. We are still buzzing from when we were on air with you a couple of weeks ago. We'll be listening over the weekend as they've got busy mending things today. So hello over the weekend. I hope you're having a good weekend, guys. So keep those tweets coming in. We always love to hear from everybody and what they've been up to. Oh, look, we've got one here from me now, Barry and John. From me now. They come on the show and that's it. They pick up these things and then they live with it. Barry and John. Could we have a shout out for our free retail business networking event with Warnborough, inviting all managers and owners of Canterbury retail businesses for a unique collaborative event. Thanks, Amanda, and best of luck to Amy. So that's, let me click on that and read it. So Together Canterbury, work, it's not working, open, thank you. On the 26th of February from 6 till 8, free retail business networking at the Warnborough College in Canterbury. If you want to find out more, if you follow at me now co on the Twitter, and Barry will give you more information. But great, it's a niche networking event, which I think is really good. Sometimes it's nice to meet other people within the same industry and find out more about what everybody's up to. So there's your shout out. So Richard, what have you been up to recently?
Servicing our clients as usual, but it hasn't been all work. There's been a little bit of play. And last Friday, myself and quite a few of the team went to an 80s charity event, which was run by the guys from Abigail's Charity, which is a lovely, lovely charity, and is born of a devastating and really sad yet common story of stillbirth death, neonatal death, which isn't the most cheeriest of subjects, but they raised a hell of a lot of money, and it was really good fun, and Cheryl Baker was there, and it was very 80s driven.
Was she making her mind up?
She did. Her and Mike did make their mind up, and they did make a few other efforts on song. It was good fun. There was good food, drink, and a load of money was raised for them. So special little charity shout out for Abigail's Footsteps, and their Twitter handle is Abigail's Charity. Do please follow and see some of the really lovely work that they do.
Fantastic. I love all these people that do such good charity work. So and you've spent out and had a good time on it as well. Good fun, raise money.
I'm reliably informed that I had.
Did you dress up?
I wore a tux.
Not 80s, no?
This was the whole thing. I spoke to the organiser, David Ward, of Ward Security, the idea is to dress up in 80s fashion. A couple of tables made a really great effort and they look fabulous, but majority of the people bottled it and just went with the glitz and glamour. Look.
Fair enough. We all like a bit of glitz and glamour.
So I went with my tuxedo and tiara.
Perfect. I like that combination. So obviously Julie's mentioned the LinkedIn local event, which happened at the Mercure Great Danes last night. I popped along because I haven't been out much recently, so I thought it was nice to show people I'm still alive. I'm still here. You know what, Terry? I only took 6 selfies.
Only 6, that's a world record for you.
I know, exactly. I wasn't feeling very well, so I was off kilt. I told people. But it was always really nice to go to events like that because you can catch up with everybody you haven't seen for a while. The only trouble when there is so many people there is you just don't get to see everybody and you don't get to make new connections because you're too busy connecting up with your old friends. But it was a good event to go to. So well done, LinkedIn and Mark Gainsford from Redsprout and Sam Beadle, who put it all together. So well done, guys. We do love a bit of networking, don't we, Terry?
Oh, we do. I think little point about that, yeah. Mm. You spent all night talking to people you knew. Mm. Perhaps you should have found one or two that you didn't.
I should have done, but I was too busy talking to the people that I knew. Now, I didn't used to run a networking event, honestly, to train people how to network. It's different. It depends what you want out of it, isn't it? I didn't go out there necessarily to meet new people. For me, it was about reconnecting with my connections I already had.
Yeah, I mean, networking for me, I don't, you know, we started a network, we'll talk about later, is about actually building relationships, finding new contacts, but it's also about building on the relationships you've already got.
Exactly.
And over time, that really works for you if you're running a business, or it's just enjoyable.
Yeah. And the important thing is to always have a reason for networking, a strategy behind it, because it is part of building your business. So if you just go aimlessly just to, or whatever, then you don't necessarily get anything out of it. But if you go there for a, you know, with a bit of a reasoning behind it, then you're going to benefit from it and it's going to be worthwhile going to.
Yeah, I mean, what we say now, for example, is after the people have done their 1 minute, because everybody wants to do a 1 minute, believe it or not, what most people do, is I just say, well, while you're listening to people, don't think about what you can sell them. Think about people you want to learn more about and learn more about their business. Can you just collaborate together? And think about the reason why you want to go and talk to them. And it's not always about selling things. It's generally not about selling things, actually. It's about building a relationship and sort of understanding what they could help you on and vice versa.
Absolutely. And actually, talking about people is quite, you know, leading us into what you're going to talk about today, Richard, haven't we, with our security special?
Yes.
It's all about people.
It is about people, and it's about organisations and companies that you work with. So I want to try and stay away from, as we always do, stay away from the dark arts. But something that's commonly used in business world is KYC, and it's know your customer or know your client. And there's various the KYC in specific terms is very regulated. For certain companies, but is damn good business sense and a good strategy to adopt for all aspects of businesses, large or small. And that's really getting to understand your customers and the people that you do business with. Now, I know Terry's probably going to build upon this in the business speak, but from my perspective, it's around ensuring that you do your due diligence on a company so that, one, you know that you're going to get paid, that they are fit for purpose, and that, you know, you're on equal footing around that trading with each other, and that you're not adversely bringing your company into a relationship that could cause sort of adverse publicity or issues down the line. All of that, I believe, lives in a security world. That is just as important as knowing your staff and doing the relevant checks on your staff. But then why wouldn't you do the similar sort of approach and diligence on customers? And that doesn't, that you don't have to put people off with that. You know, sometimes in more cases than most, it's about that trusted relationship, and it actually enhances that relationship and shows that you're two sort of grown up organizations working in the shared space with a shared objective, but it's around making sure that you do your checks on companies.
And I guess it's something a lot of people wouldn't necessarily think about, and then further down the line complain if they're not being paid because the client that they've worked for ends up, you know, not having any money or disappearing.
Well, there's an old cliche, isn't there? I mean, you've heard it all before, that a sale isn't a sale until you've been paid for it. And you know, exactly right, Richard.
Yeah.
You know, unless you actually know you're going to get paid.
Yeah.
In my case, I always get paid because I charge in advance.
Exactly.
There's a way around that. I mean, there are other laws and legislation that sort of dictates that, you know, businesses should be doing a bit more deeper thought around engaging with organisations. Bribery and corruption, you know, who are the other companies that you're working with, who do they work with, that supply chain, have a bit of resilience conversation within there. But, yeah, it's not many people, I'm sure, for the right reasons, start to chase a pound note, for want of a better word.
Absolutely.
Because that's what business is about, right? And yes, you might get your first payment. Yes, you might get your second payment. But, you know, now you're starting getting into the counter-fraud arena where, you know, after that first, second, third sale or aspect of trying to gain goods or services, then it's that fourth time where actually that was a bigger payment. That was actually something that we made a change in our organisation based on, because we thought that supply was going to look very different. And then that's where people go off the radar. And if you haven't done those checks, you don't know whether those people truly exist. It's exactly the same as managing your own accounts.
Would you say, Richard, then, would you recommend that, say you're bidding for a contract with a larger business, and you know, it might be a fair slice of your business if you win it. Would you recommend, say, looking at their accounts or getting someone to look at the potential client accounts to see what they're doing and
Absolutely.
How viable they are and what's going on? Yeah?
Of course, yeah. I mean, you wouldn't want to make it too clunky and unworkable and hinder any business. But I think they're all reasonable questions that we should be asking each other anyway. You know, then just because your bank balance in profit terms or cash flow isn't high doesn't mean that you're a risk. Just means business. So it needs to be tempered with balance.
But I guess also it is actually a lot easier these days to look into the visibility of a company.
Absolutely.
With social media. My best friend is Company Check. I love Company Check. Yeah. Just to get an overview, all these people out there that boast that they're turning over all these millions in their companies, and I'm like, no, you're not. You're full of rubbish.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
people do, quite surprisingly, people go, yeah, you know, I helped build an £8 million company. If you look at their bank, you know, their Company Check, nowhere near.
Yeah.
So Company Check is, you can get a paid version or a free version. I just use a free version.
Yeah.
But if, you know, if you've got a company that you're looking at, you can just go into Company Check, look up their financials and just see what sort of state of play. And you say it doesn't give you, just because they haven't necessarily got much money in the bank doesn't mean they're not worth considering working with. But at least you know they're a legitimate company and what sort of figures they're turning over. Then you can use your social media, and then you can do... there's so many ways you can look into
Absolutely.
Companies these days. There's no excuse
company house,
not to. Exactly.
There's loads of different... And it's about trying to get as much information as possible for you to make an informed decision about that engagement, not to put you off, to give you greater confidence when engaging with clients and you know, to a certain extent down that supply chain, those customers. We offer a service that's more detailed and more deep dive, and that goes quite globally. But there is an amount of information you can readily source, whether it's validated or not. It's about that information that you obtain to sort of go, right, okay, maybe there's a few other questions that I want to find out about this before sort of giving them the keys to the kingdom or whatever. And those questions, whether it be for good business, whether it's for counter fraud or cyber, because, you know, we've spoken in the past about, you know, we all too often, because we want to get data and get it quick, we want to connect to people and we give people access to our technologies so that we can utilise and harvest any data or, you know, just become better. Well, what does that supply chain look like? And knowing your customer forces you to ask some of those more deeper dive questions.
Absolutely.
And actually actually links quite nicely to sort of, if you're going in to sell someone something or discuss a deal or contract or just having the first meeting, linking the kind of thing you're talking about on the security and the formal stuff to what Amanda's talking about, which is looking at their website, looking at their social media. It helps you to understand the customer
Absolutely.
Themselves while you're talking or negotiating with them. It gives you a better idea of what they might want and what your
how
you can match your offer to what they want, you know. And you get the security angle saying, well, I've got this now, the satisfaction, I can go full tilt on that, you know.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, isn't it? I think people are trusting, and unfortunately in this world you can't be trusting. You can't take people on face value. It'd be nice if we could, but it's just not the way of the world. It never has been. But say these days, at least the tools to look into people and find out more about them are there.
Yeah, they're readily available.
Exactly.
And they should be used, because lots of small businesses fold because of they've taken a risk in an unmanaged environment. Or they've taken a bit of a punt on certain stuff because they've gone, yeah, well, if I can get this, then I can get that. And, you know, very, very quickly, house of cards can come down. Or if you rely on that next payment coming through, which is paying your staff or your other suppliers and other parts of the business, then, you know, your business is sort of set to fail unless you really become diligent about it and treat it as a business, not just as a function of trying to gain money and, you know, put money in the bank.
Yeah, it's very difficult. I mean, if you take startup businesses, you know, most startup businesses seem to have enough cash usually to get to their first 6 months, maybe 9 months, because they've worked that through.
Hopefully, that's what they should do.
But once you get past that point, you've got a level where you can actually trade on a day to day basis.
Yeah.
But sometimes if it gets tough, quite right, you know, some people say, you see the light, I've got to go for that deal, that's going to earn me a lot of money. And perhaps it's not, because if you don't check it out first and see some of the warning signs.
And nothing that I've said should stop business and should stop any of
exactly.
It should
not at all.
Help enhance and give you, you know, a greater confidence and assurance around engaging.
That's so there you go, people. Due diligence.
Wasn't that scary?
Don't trust anybody.
there is a common theme. I'll give you that. I do give you that.
You've got to get to a point sometimes when you trust someone, Amanda.
No.
Don't trust anybody. No, it's just about having your wits about you and being aware, indeed. I think, definitely. Yes, and that does lead on nicely to introducing properly Terry, because you work with business owners.
You are
a business mentor.
Yes.
Is it Botfield Associates?
It is indeed.
The name of your company.
Yeah.
Let's start from the beginning. What made you want to start helping businesses by mentoring them?
I saw it first of all 5 or 6 years ago when I sort of retired for the third time.
We're going to touch on that in a minute, but yeah, carry on.
as a way of earning a few quid, I'll be quite honest with you. And then the more I got into it and the more I started doing it, I realised that actually, you know, it's a great feeling to sort of work with people and see their business grow and get a few quid at the same time. Mm. You know, you get sort of the personal satisfaction as well as the business income coming in. And that's one of the reasons I say that to clients. I say, well, you know, what do you really want from this business? It isn't just about your Ferrari next month. It's actually about what do you personally want from doing this thing you're doing? What personal challenge are you meeting? You know, do you want to tell someone, for example, where you've left a corporate environment, who said, you'll never run your own business? Do you want to prove to them you can? You know, that might be the reason why you're doing it, as well as making some money on the other side of the thing too, so you can exist.
Yeah.
You know, so one of the key things I found with it and why I really enjoy it, I do it, one, because it keeps the brain active, but actually I really seriously love giving back. And I love seeing businesses and individuals grow, and I'd love to see, help them to do that.
That's good. So we mentioned 3 times retired. So, I mean, and that's one thing we do see a lot of, obviously. There's so many people currently jumping on the business mentor bandwagon, as it were.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are, you know, no offence, but they're quite young and haven't necessarily had that experience. So you've worked in corporate world, as it were.
Yeah, I worked most of my life in the corporate world, companies such as Kimberly-Clark, which is based here in Maidstone. Down the road in Maidstone.
What do Kimberly-Clark do?
They've got their own brands like Andrex toilet tissue.
Okay,
you blow your nose on their tissues, and you do all sorts of other things. That's they do with paper and textiles. Let's not go into that.
No, loo roll, you mean, loo roll.
Absolutely. So I was sort of involved there as a national training manager and sort of handled their largest business accounts like Tesco and so on and so forth. And then I was headhunted out to go and work for a brewery, Cottage in Newcastle, who bought Courage. I think it was the largest reverse takeover in the brewery trade ever.
Oh, wow.
Then out of there, I ended up in Royal Mail, not delivering letters. They were getting they wanted to get commercial, wanted to deal with their customers. They recognised they'd got customers. It's about 20-odd years ago.
Okay.
And they wanted to be more commercial in their approach with their business customers, which is a huge amount of their business with direct mail as it was at the time. And I went in there as one of their account managers, and then I went from there and ended up, in 2004, running like hell, retiring, and I was running their largest group of business accounts, the Royal Bank of Scotland and various other things. So I was their partnership director there.
Mm.
So, right, I'm going to play golf now in 2004. That's going to be my life for the rest of time.
Fair enough.
For 6 months.
And then you got bored, didn't you?
Absolutely, got bored.
Yep.
And ended up going to a little place called South Kent College, 3 days a week, trying to get – it's where my interest in the education agenda and skills agenda came in, trying to get businesses to actually engage with the skills agenda. Don't we all?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And that's been sort of one of the things I've been working on for a long time. Did that for 2 or 3 years, gave that a miss. Went to South Kent College, I saw it was going down somewhere, so I decided to get out of there. Then ended up working in the public sector at KCC with Kent Adult Education. They wanted to turn that public sector unit into a commercially facing social enterprise type business. And so I worked on that for about 4 or 5 years. And gave that up in 2013 and retired for the last time then and started my own business. So that's a sort of bit of the business background. And, you know, and as you say, you learn a lot of things. I mean, if you're in corporate business, as you'll know as well, Richard, being there, can I say, they train the backside off you.
Yeah.
They actually spend a fortune on training people and giving them all sorts of skills. And I was lucky enough to go to Cranfield Business School for 3 or 4 months, which was paid for. And you come out and you expect everyone knows everything that you do. And until you have the conversation, you know, where you say, well, you don't know what you don't know until someone tells you something you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to follow that one?
Mm-hmm.
Then basically you start realising there's a lot of things out there you could help people with because they've not had the opportunity the great opportunity I was given by some of these corporations to get trained, learn some of the skills, learn some of the best ways of practice and so on. And that links all to what I do now.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's quite a diverse but full-on sort of background, isn't it? So all of it was involved with people, though. So people training, dealing with people.
Absolutely.
Which is, I guess, in something you loved doing. You did like... Mostly, yeah, for the
most
part.
I still firmly believe, despite the onset of social media, there are a lot of businesses that trade only online, and I accept that, and that will happen. Amazon being probably the best example, or the most successful example. But in the poor, smaller business community, and businesses generally, people still buy people.
Absolutely.
And you know, you mustn't forget that. And a number of times I talk to clients and potential clients, and you know, they think, for example, no criticism coming up, Zoe, the social media is the sort of bullet. Zoe Cairns, for example, who I know quite well, would tell you, and I've heard this say it to clients, that is not the silver bullet. You need to have a business plan first. Yep. You need to have an understanding of where you're going first, and then find out how social media can really work and help you get where you're going to. And that's where it all fits together. Just having your website and social media does not solve your problems.
No, you need that's what comes back to the networking as well, though, isn't it? Where you get to make face-to-face. But at the end of the day, as you say, people buy people, and there's no amount of how fantastic you are at social media or online, whatever. You have to make that time to meet people, and people need to get to know you. And that's where events come in, because you can meet with people, you can get in front of your target audience. So it all works really nicely.
But I think it has to be done in a planned way, though, doesn't it?
Oh, for sure.
I think you would know
sort
that,
because
what you do. I'm a great believer in planning. I don't believe totally in putting straitjackets around people or businesses at all. But having a plan and a direction of where you want to go and what channels you're going to use to talk to your target market and talk to your clients, whether it be through events, whether it be through networking or social media or direct contact in other ways, but it has to be integrated. And it's actually no different. Being an old boy like me, I can remember the days going back when you had direct mail and leaflets, basically, and a bit of TV advertising.
Yeah. Yeah.
But everybody planned, a lot of organisations plan their marketing campaigns by integrating those things together. Same thing today. It's exactly the same. Just the methodology's changed. That's all. So networking is key in that mix, in my opinion, as is going to events and engaging in events. Yes,
absolutely. Brilliant. Well, we're going to take a little bit of a break now. Now we've introduced Terry and we know what he's all about. We're going to be back straight after this. So you are listening to the Business Bunker Extra Radio Show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. It is Friday, the 22nd of February. This is the last Friday in February.
It is.
See, so fast. I am joined in the studio by our security expert, Richard Bell, and our guest, TD Body, is in the studio. I'm just going to call him that from now on. Yeah. We're going to have a little bit of tunage and we'll be back after this. And this is, Richard, see if you can work out what is it. This is Terry's choice.
Oh.
We all got to love a bit of ABBA.
I don't wanna talk about things we've gone through, though it's hurting me. Now it's history. I played all my cards, and that's what you've done too. Nothing more to say, no more ace to play. The winner takes it all, the loser standing small, beside the victory, that's a destiny. I was in your arms, thinking I belonged there. I figured it made sense. I'd be strong there, but I be the same when she calls your name. Somewhere deep inside, you must know I miss you. But what can I say? Rules must be obeyed.
Simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Phoenix Analysts Limited. Business consultants commissioning, procurement, and quality assurance services. Helping you to get the most out of your business. Check our website for more details. PhoenixAnalystsLimited.com.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. RiftAccounting.com.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
Hello and welcome back. And you are still listening, if you're still listening, if you're still out there, if we haven't driven you away, to the Business Bunker Extra radio show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.com/2. And I am joined in the studio today by our security expert, Richard Bell. He's our security expert. Wow. Our security expert and our fabulous guest, TD Body. TD Body's in the house, everybody. And we have just been talking to Terry to find out a little bit more about his background. He worked for quite a long time in the corporate world, as it's known. We should find a new name for that, the corporate world. But it's given you, and you should say, a lot of that was the training that was provided to you within that world, and then obviously the experience of working that has led you to now, because you're too bored being retired, to running your own little business, mentoring, basically.
Yeah.
And so what sort of businesses do you work with?
Me, I work with mainly small businesses. They probably have less than 30 employees. And I also work with some sole traders. So that spread through there. I work with startups as well. I enjoy working with startups because, you know, there is a fairly high failure rate for startups in Kent. In fact, across the UK, it's about 65% roughly of startups don't get to year three.
I got past that.
And I really like working with startups from the very beginning, if possible. Well, usually it tends to be when they're into their sort of second year, where I've got a bit of a sort of thing about that, because there was quite a bit of public sector funding to help people over that hump. That's disappeared for all sorts of reasons. Yep. I won't talk politics. So there is a gap there where you know, that people really do need the help when they get to that stage where they haven't quite got the business to the point where it's running as they wanted. It's almost there. And it just needs the help and the push to get it over the line so it's sustainable. Yeah. And that's the kind of reason I like working with. I also work with charities increasingly, a number of charities, because of the way their funding, which traditionally has been coming from the public sector, is changing to commissioned funding and various other things. Charities, and I chair a charity, which I'll touch on later, charities need to accept that maybe that has changed slightly their approach and the way they run their charity. The smaller charities sometimes need a bit of help and a bit of a push to, say, to achieve those fabulous things you do. Yeah. You have to run this side of your operation in a commercial way.
Yeah.
And so I would do that kind of work as well.
And I guess, here's a question. How much have you seen the world of business change in the last 20 years? Aha!
That's an interesting question, isn't it? That was my give myself 15 seconds to think about the answer response. Yeah. Good tip, by the way, if you're ever negotiating, that is. Because I do negotiating courses as well.
But 15 seconds.
You give yourself 15 seconds thinking time by saying, oh, that's a good question. I'll just have to think that one through. Yeah, I'll give myself 30 seconds now, haven't I?
Yeah.
How things have changed. In Kent, I don't think they've changed that much, actually, because we've always had in Kent, in this part of the world, a large number of small businesses. I think the numbers only moved from about, I think it's 95%. I don't know the exact numbers. Mm. Someone will ring up and tell me I'm wrong.
Paul's listening.
Paul, it's over 90% of businesses have less than 10 employees. And the further east you go in the county, the less numbers per business are employed. And we've lost one or two very large employers in the county and so on. I think we've got an increase in startup businesses here in Kent. We've got a huge startup change, and that's making a change in the economy. We've got a lot of things changing in the way that people work in business. I think that's a big one. Yeah. Instead of going to the office every day, you know, and on the train to London, my son still does that. He works for EEBT, a fairly senior job, and he's on the train every day down to the city. That is changing. I think that will change dramatically as time goes on, where people will actually cluster in groups. They'll work remotely. That's really starting to happen.
Yeah.
I started working from home 25 years ago, would you believe? And I love it. You have to be disciplined.
Very.
Great. But you're enabled. You can enable anyone now to work anywhere.
Yeah.
Using the technology that we have. You still have to get people to meet together, though. I do have a feeling of belonging, and that's where co-working comes in and things like that that's developing.
99.7% of all businesses are SMEs.
There we go then.
Thank you, Paul.
That's changed. That's gone. There's more of them now than there were 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the diff. That's the difference. So if you're doing business now, and that, I think that number, correct me if I'm wrong, is between 50,000 and 60,000 businesses in Kent registered for VAT. If you're starting up in business or run a small business, what's your target then? Do you want to engage with all 60,000? So that's what it's engaging with the right customers in the right place, having worked out who you want to sell to, and then how you're going to talk to them is probably the biggest single change.
Yeah.
In the past, you know, the large corporates, as I can call them, would spend money on TV advertising right, left and centre, and all they were selling was a brand message. These days, you've got to sell a message which is relevant to the person at the other end who's listening.
Yeah.
And if you don't do that, you won't succeed. It's all about planning. And I think increasingly, having effective planning is probably even more important these days than it ever was.
Yeah. And we discussed, Terry and I had the whole show discussed before, and we're probably not going to discuss anything we discussed before the show, but we were mentioning about that's one of the common things you get blank look when you say to people, well, you know, who's your target audience? Who's your ideal customer? And people just look at you. Sometimes I think with startups, they don't actually, they're not actually sure who they want to target at.
No. Usually I find, and it's not a criticism, I think it's good, at least people get moving. They feel they need to put a website in place. Which is, they're told it has to be essential. How to start doing social media. Okay, fine. But actually, you need a plan first. Now, when you start off, where do you want to be in 12 months' time? One of the questions I ask is, what does success look like in 12 months' time?
Mm.
Describe it to me from a personal point of view and from a material point of view. And when we've got that in place, then you can actually start aligning all your activities and plan them to get where you want to go.
Yeah.
It's the idea of getting on a train, wanting to go to Liverpool, and having no idea how to get there when you walk out the door in the morning. Apart from that, you want to go to Liverpool.
Yeah.
How'd you get there? I don't know. So, you know, it's one of those things. I know there are certain entrepreneurs, and one might be listening, that basically wouldn't want to work like that. But actually,
I don't know who he is.
But they are it's a very, very small proportion of the business of businesses out there. And the others do need, we all need to be structured. I have a small business plan. I always write myself one, you know, and I've got a reasonable idea where I want to be. What I also would recommend, and one thing we did touch on, Amanda, was this thing where it hits you in the face. You're running all the time. You're running a business. You never get a chance to take a breath. And sometimes it sort of gets on top of you and you feel like the business is running you rather than you're running the business.
Yeah. So there was just a quick statistic again from Paul. So 76,000 businesses in Kent.
76,000.
144,000 self-employed micro-businesses.
There you go.
And
Paul will tell us that actually has grown in the last 10 years and grown quite rapidly. So this whole point about when can you step away?
Yes.
And do you step away? Do you make time to actually just step away and just review where you want to be? Are you actually going where you said you were going? You know, if you did have an idea of what you wanted to be when you started your business, or even if you're an existing business, I think you and I were talking, you get to a point in an existing business, it succeeds. Then you approach the cliff when you get about 20, 25 employees and you say, where am I going to go? Do I just stay running this business at this level, make it really efficient, take lots of profit, keep running it great, or do I actually want to carry on growing?
Yeah.
That is probably the biggest risk area for a business that's 4 or 5 years old, is how do you make it grow?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that easy.
No.
You know, because, sorry, go on.
No, I was just going to say, because I know Paul's telepathically pushing this across to me. Obviously, yes, it's always good to have plan and know where you're going, but also isn't it good to have a certain amount of organic direction, as in what you so often see is people, right, this is my business plan, this is what I want to achieve. And by doing that, they go so blinkered towards that achievement that they ignore any other opportunities that might cross their paths or might take them in a different direction, but then help the business to grow in a different way?
I think that's a good debate. I'll have it with you, Paul, at some stage. but basically, I think if you're in early stage development, you have to be quite focused and really test out that if you apply all your resources and align to those resources the way you want to go, you then are able to find it much more quickly. If you're not going in the right direction, then you can change. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you try and do multiple things all at once, especially when you're a small business with not much resource, you can actually end up not actually achieving anything. You achieve a lot of things. But when you get slightly bigger, then you've got the ability to actually – and if you network a lot and if you engage with people a lot, these are where the extra ideas come from.
Yeah.
And that's how you develop your growth strategies to some extent. You might know where you want to go, but how am I going to get – well, Fred, have you thought about doing that? Or have you thought about doing that? And that's where the extra stuff comes in. I think Paul might be alluding to, is that you're able then to think, that's an idea. I can tag it in. It's close to my competencies. Well, it might not be, but I'm going to have a go at it. But that's okay once you've got your core business running.
Yeah. I think that's the thing, isn't it? And it's that – it's been cast as shiny object syndrome as well, isn't it? Oh, let's do that and let's do that. And then can take you away completely from what it was you originally wanted to do. But again, you still have to have an open mind to... I'm a classic. I started my business for 4 years, coming up to 4 years ago, and I wanted to do bespoke parties, you know, petite, chic and unique bespoke parties for, you know, for the rich and famous. I now run business exhibitions because my business has taken me in a completely different direction, because I will still do bespoke parties. That's still part of what we do, but that's not our main core. By networking and meeting business owners and then establishing that actually business events is what I enjoy doing, and it's taken me completely in a different direction to where I was initially going.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, if you think we started something about 18 months ago down on Romney Marsh called the Marsh Network, Marsh Networking Group, which we were told when we planned it with the support of five key influencers, one of which is listening in. basically, we were told by all the local businesses, it will never work. It's been tried before. It'll not work. Yeah, it's now got a Facebook membership of nearly 200. We get regularly 20 to 30 people at every meeting, a breakfast meeting or a coffee meeting. And what I'm finding, building on your point, what's happened now is that the people who are engaged, they say, can we get any further? Can we structure the support a bit better, the support with each other? So we're about to kick off a series of workshops, some of which are only 2-hour input workshops, which are being done by members and other people outside. They're basically very low cost, £25 for a morning. And they're based on subjects that the people in the group want. And it ranges from things like, I'm doing a first workshop on the 28th of March on taking control of your business. So if you do feel out of control, and if you're prepared to admit it, and you honestly want some help on how to structure and getting it back under control, that workshop's running in New Romney. We'll run it for as many as 6 people only, and so on. And then one of the others, for example, is building collaboration and partnerships. That's another one. Yeah. Another one on the list is about stress in business, how to identify it and how to deal with it.
Stress?
Stress. Yeah.
Stress. Does anybody get stress right in a business?
Linked to the mental health awareness agenda, you know, so there's things like that. And we've also got a young lad, young gentleman who I work with, actually, who's going to come and do one on how to keep healthy and fit in business, how to be aware of how to keep yourself physically fit, as well as to actually carry on doing what you're trying to do.
Well, the mental health area in a workplace is increasingly becoming more on the agenda, but has been way off for so long. And again, that's you're setting yourself up to fail if you don't have that into consideration.
And I think that's the thing as well, and this leads nicely into, say, you have set up, has it been going that long already?
It's now been going to 12 months last
12
October.
Months, we've been on to, hasn't it? The Romney Marsh
Networking. I think you actually came along, I think.
We did, yes.
You did.
Yep, we were there, definitely. But it's... that's why, especially with startups and new people businesses, networking is essential, because it's not just about the people that you meet and connect with. It's how much you can learn about running your business. Yeah. Because most people that start up a business, they're experts at their profession, they're experts at what they do, but they don't know how to run a business. You know, even people that come out of university doing a business degree don't know how to run a business. They've got no idea, but they don't. And by going to these networking meetings and meeting with people and discussing with people who, and that's the thing as well, is you discover that you're not the only person in the world that's going through what you're going through.
Absolutely.
Everyone that's run a business goes through exactly the same, all different syndromes and everything going on. And to have that support and the workshops and, you know, going somewhere where they've got good quality speakers where you can learn, going to events, you know, things like the Grow Kent that's coming up in March, where you've got people, you know, once you grow your business, you're going to hear from experts who can share their experiences and expertise on how you can build and grow your business. It's listening and learning. You never stop learning, do you?
Well, I mean, the network itself, I think it ask why it's working. I mean, I've been being a sort of business development marketing guy, really. I take feedback on why it's working.
Mm.
And it's because we actually structure it in a totally different way to most others. I think 2/3 of the time we spent literally talking to each other.
Yeah.
We start with networking, then a bit of an update, then we do our 1 minute to tell us about yourselves and what you're looking for. That's who you want to meet, actually, is the way you position it. And then we just go back to networking, or we have a speaker sometimes on a particular topic. And people we have difficulty dragging them out of the pub, and it's not because it's in a pub. We have difficulty closing it down. You know, the people just carry on talking and networking.
Yeah.
And that develops support, mutual support. And there are lots of examples, but I won't go into, I haven't got time, where people have actually developed formal partnerships. There are examples where people are helping each other. Yeah. I mean, I go out and do, anybody wants to have a free session with me, you know, as a business mentor, I go out and do it for nothing. And I don't mind if I sit there for an hour and a half. We have a coffee. We talk about what people's requirements are. I walk off down the road and leave it at that. All of them will do some business with they do.
Yeah.
You know, and but a lot of people I know meet in between meetings to support each other. Mm. And I think that's why that works.
Yeah. No, it's brilliant. Unfortunately, we're fast running out of time in the show, as we always do. But you have got a couple of events coming up with the Marsh Networking. So do tell us about those.
Yeah, we've got our coffee morning on the 6th of March at the St Paul Times in New Romney. It costs you all of a fiver to attend. And for that, you get a cup of coffee and you're giving to the charity we support, Calm, which supports older people in isolation on Romney Marsh, which we raised £3,000 for in our first year last
Brilliant.
Year. So there is a charity association.
That's
and
great.
On the 21st of March, we have our breakfast meeting. And if you keep a lookout on our Facebook page, which is the Romney Marsh Networking Group, you will see yesterday we had a commercial drone flying around being demonstrated, and we got the video footage of the ship in at Dymchurch and all of us standing outside and so on. And that really was interesting to see how that worked. The fact you can't fly it into a building is fascinating. It's got sensors on which stops it flying into a building. Yeah. It'll just reverse.
Only over airports, hey?
No. Yeah, the guy is commercially qualified. But yeah, well, that rule's changed. 5 kilometres now from next year.
I know. Yeah, exactly. Fantastic.
So there are two events you've got on coming up, and they run every month.
Okay. So if people want to find out more about the Romney Marsh Networking.
At the moment, you go to botfieldassociates.co.uk and you'll find a tab there for Marsh. Just click on that and you'll find out about the group, and the events list is on there.
Brilliant. And the same place where they want to find out about you.
Yeah.
And what you do?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know.
I was going to try and talk about the charity. But
oh, no, well, quickly. Yeah.
Romney Resource Centre is on Romney Marsh. It supports the hard-to-reach youngsters. We're a charity. I chair the board at the moment, and one of my friends, Chris Pollard, who many of us know, is actually the interim CEO.
His old co-host on...
Yeah, absolutely.
Literally the old co-host on...
And we're developing a new strategy, and basically, as a charity, we are turning it on its head. Instead of the charity following funding, we're going to find out what people actually want in the community and in business on Romney Marsh.
Mm-hmm.
And we will then go and collaborate and partner with potential partners who will enable us to do it.
Brilliant.
We'd have a sponsors page. It's now live. If you want to sponsor us, £10 a month as a giver, you can get your own page for £10 a month, and you can put your links on it, you can put your logos on it. And Chris's idea, and it's already working really well. For
Fantastic.
Example, thank you to the Ashford Designer Outlet for going on there. Thank you to Big Business Bunker, which is going on there, etc. So, yeah, if you want to do that, just go on to romneyresourcecentre.co.uk sponsors and have a look. That's
Fantastic.
The end of the commercials.
Brilliant. He's got three hats on, you see, today. His business mentoring, his networking, and the charity. So thank you so much for
Pleasure.
Being with
thank
us
you
today,
for inviting me.
Terry. And if you do want to follow Terry, it's really easy. At TD Botty on the Twitter. We love it. Following on from the events that Terry was telling about, there are some really great events coming up over the next few weeks, as we are now about to approach March next week. Blimey. But it's fine because March is my birthday month. Woohoo. Richard, what have you got over there? Tell us about what's coming up.
I've got a couple that sort of see us out in February. Monday the 25th. Business Terrace in Maidstone, 2 to 4. Business Doctors and Business in Maidstone, a free event called Time Management, based on if you're working on silly hours, do you feel as if things are getting on top of you, if you feel like you haven't got enough to attend. If you haven't got 2 hours to attend this workshop, then that's the question answered there. You must attend. You'll learn loads of different sorts of tasks, different ways to that you can automate some of your tasks and begin the journey of delegating, which is one of the key things on that next stage of business. At the end of the workshop, you'll be able to go away and start to enjoy business again in your and some of your spare time. To book, go to businessdoctors.co.uk or businessinmaidstone.co.uk and look for events.
Fantastic. We've had a bit of a tweet up from Laura at Tenterton Toilets, who's saying, good ideas on the Bunk Extra today. She's liking the talking of planning or not planning. Plans change. Couldn't agree more. So that's good to have. Coming up in 2 weeks' time, can't believe it's in 2 weeks' time, on the 8th of March is International Women's Day. Now, I do agree, Terry, off air, we did say there should be an International Man's Day, but hey, we're not going to go there. No. But do you like the fact that I love this? Okay, so International Women's Day is traditionally the 8th of March, but us being women have now turned March into International Women's Month because really? there's events going on pretty much throughout March for International Women's Day.
I better move my birthday then.
Exactly. It's fine because my birthday's in March, so it's fine. But on the 8th of March, this is the only event you need to know about. It's the Aspinall Foundation and Butterflies events are inviting you to join us at the stunningly gorgeous Port Lim Hotel on Reserve in Hythe for an International Women's Day event with a difference. We've got the day. It's about celebrating women in business and about me being inspired for about networking and about networking with other fabulous women in business. We have a panel lined up of women in great positions in business. So we have Jane Michotte, who is co-hosting the event with myself and is also the Director of Fundraising at the Aspinall Foundation. We have Melanie Blythe, who is the Head of UK Fleet Solutions at Shell. We have our very own Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, founder of Orchard Employment Law. We have Frankie, who is one of the primate keepers at Port Lim. We have Lucy Whitmore, who is a retail partnership director at Cardlytics. Cardlytics is a big tech company. And we have Emma Shaw, who is the managing director of Esoteric. Yeah, got it right. And really exciting, they do counterintelligence amongst other things, but I just like the counterintelligence part of it. So all these women are on our panel, but it's going to be a really interactive day for you to discuss any barriers that are out there still that you face as women in business, whether you run your own business or whether you work for a company. Come along. It is just £45 for a full day. We've got lots of networking activities. We've got lunch and we're going on safari because you can't go to Port Lim and not go on safari. If you go to butterfliesevents.co.uk/IWD event to book on and find out more. It's fantastic. Oh, Paul's just told us now that there is an International Men's Day. It's on the 11th of November. We don't care, Paul.
Is that Movember?
Movember, yeah. On this next Wednesday, the 27th, there is networking here at Kent Space in Ashford. Pop along. It's a free networking event at 5:30. And they've got the Metro Bank coming along and speaking. So that's always a good little networking event to come to. What else have you got over there, Richard? We've got time for one more.
Yes. Next week, on Wednesday, the 27th of February, workshop in Folkestone, 6 till 9 p.m. Two amazing speakers on the night. A good friend, Amy McManuson, who's the founder of AM Marketing, a marketing agency in Canterbury. She'll be talking about how to make your paid advertising work for you and your clients. And Joe Dodds. Joe is a productivity expert, and she'll be talking about how to get that work-life balance, being more productive, organised and calm. The event is free to attend, so you can just register on meetup.com. Just search for Kent Digital Folkestone.
Yeah, so there's Kent Digital Meetup, and they have them all over the place, and the Folkestone one is on 27th. Fantastic. 11th of March at 250 Bishopgate is Digital Women Live, 9:30 a.m. till 4:30 p.m. It's in London, and it's being hosted by the lovely Lucy Hall of Aviso Media. If you go to kickstartsocial.media and find out more. And we have come to the end of the show. Thank you so much, Terry, for joining us today and sharing with us. Thank you, Richard, for being the co-host again and sharing our security stuff and scaring us even more. Don't trust anybody. Next week on the show, I am joined in the studio by Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, and our guest is Patience Ugunabono, who is another coach. So it'll be interesting to meet Patience. Don't forget to listen to Paul's show on Tuesday, 1 till 3, he's got more great guests. Have a great weekend, everyone. Have a great weekend, everyone. Bye for now.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
This is Channel 2.